It's the Noon Report from Family Life, bringing a Christian worldview to what's happening in New York, Pennsylvania, across the country, and around the world. Weather with Kevin Williams, sports with Sunny Delfiette, plus special features and reports with the Family Life News team. Now, here's what's happening.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the broadcast. I'm Bill Price. Impeachment talk across the pond.
Unacceptable. I did nothing wrong.
That is our top story at noon. Speaking with world leaders at the NATO summit in London today, President Trump sounded off on the impeachment inquiry going on back home.
It's turned out to be a hoax. It's done for purely political gain. They're going to see whether or not they can do something in 2020, because otherwise they're going to lose.
The president called the Democrat probe unpatriotic. Meantime, the House Intelligence Committee poised to pass a report later today that lays out the case for impeachment. Here's Democratic Chairman Adam Schiff.
We're putting the finishing touches on the report. At the same time, that's not the end of our investigation. So even while judiciary does its work, we will continue investigating.
Republicans will also be filing a report today. Ohio's Jim Jordan.
Ours is the truth. Ours is the facts. Theirs is taking, well, so-and-so talked to so-and-so who told somebody about someone else's conversation, and therefore we need to impeach the president. That's the crux of their entire case.
The House Judiciary Committee will take up the impeachment inquiry tomorrow with public testimony from several constitutional experts. Former Deputy Assistant Attorney General Tom DePree.
An impeachable offense at the end of the day is whatever the senators think an impeachable offense is. So I think there's going to be a lot of constitutional discussion, a lot of historical discussion, a lot of very strongly expressed views from House members. But at the end of the day, I can't imagine that this is going to have a significant impact on the way the public has seen this whole impeachment.
Meantime, next week, the highly anticipated Inspector General's report into the origins of the Russia investigation will go public. Officials say that report could blow the lid off allegations that the intelligence community spied on the Trump campaign leading up to the 2016 election. President Trump and his French counterpart clashing today over NATO and ISIS. Speaking in London, the president says NATO nations need to pay their fair share.
We have a lot of countries stepping up and putting up a lot of money. The number as of this moment is exactly $131 billion. That's a year, but it's not enough.
France's Emmanuel Macron, meantime, standing by his controversial comments when he said NATO was suffering brain death under the Trump administration.
I know that my statements created some reactions and shake a little bit. A lot of people. I do stand by it.
I do stand by it, he says. President Trump called that comment disrespectful earlier today, saying no one needs NATO more than France. President Trump says he may wait until after the election to reach a trade deal with China. Correspondent Stephen Portnoy is in London.
In a breakfast meeting with NATO's Secretary General, the president said he might not reach a trade deal with China for another year.
In some ways, I like the idea of waiting till after the election.
The president insists the Chinese want an agreement now, but he says the decision to strike a deal is his alone.
It's if I want to make it. We'll see what happens.
Stephen Portnoy, London.
The president's comments sent the Dow plunging today. It was down more than 400 points in trading this morning. Airlines and utility companies across the country playing catch-up today following the winter storm that dumped snow and ice on several states for several days.
It's really bad. Everyone should just really be careful.
It's raining, then it's snowing. It's raining, then it's snowing.
If we didn't have a wood stove, we wouldn't survive. There's no heat here.
The power out for most of the day yesterday across much of the Twin Tiers. Temporary shelters were set up for folks to spend the night in last night. A much calmer day today, weather-wise. A new study on the homeless in the U.S. and five other countries shows 53% have suffered some kind of traumatic brain injury at some point in their lives. That's much higher than the general population. Researchers say it could be the injury as a consequence or even a cause of their homelessness. The mayor of Newark, New Jersey, is suing the mayor of New York City, claiming Bill de Blasio is dumping the Big Apple's homeless population on his side of the Hudson River. Ross Bacara also alleges that de Blasio's administration has been using strong-arm tactics to coerce the migration to New Jersey's biggest city. Another health setback for America's oldest living president. Here's correspondent Jim Krasula.
Former President Jimmy Carter is being treated at a hospital close to his Plains, Georgia home for a urinary tract infection. Mr. Carter was released last Wednesday from Emory University Hospital in Atlanta after recovering from surgery to relieve pressure on his brain caused by bleeding from several falls.
That's Jim Krasula reporting. Still to come on this Tuesday edition of the Noon Report, the Bishop of Buffalo steps down tomorrow. We'll have the very latest cracking down on porch pirates this holiday season and a major league problem for minor league baseball.
Well, good afternoon. Temperatures recovering from a chilly start thanks to some sunshine, but we've got a little snow in the forecast. I'll have the details coming up. We'll see you in 10 minutes.
Okay, Kevin Williams checking the stories making news where you live in New York and Pennsylvania. Tuesday, December 3rd, the lake effect snow machine going to be firing up again tomorrow into Thursday for parts of ski country in western New York, northwestern Pennsylvania. A winter weather advisory starts tomorrow morning. It will last through Thursday morning. Up to 7 inches of the white stuff is possible. Temporary shelters were set up throughout the Twin Tiers last night as thousands of folks were still without power following this week's winter storms. Kyra Bannister is with the local Red Cross in Steuben County, New York.
A fair number of homes have been affected by the power outage. So then we welcome whoever needs to come in to get some food, some warmth, some water, maybe a shower, and until they can get back to their houses.
Nearly all the power has now been restored. He's resigning tomorrow. Embattled Buffalo Bishop Richard Malone is expected to step down on Wednesday as the head of the Catholic Diocese of Western New York.
This is unprecedented in the Diocese of Buffalo. It's going to take a new bishop, I think, to come in and to really right some of the wrongs.
John Hurley is with the Movement to Restore Trust. He says Richard Malone simply dropped the ball when it came to the pedophile priest scandal that's plagued the diocese for years. The bishop expected to announce an early retirement tomorrow. Michael Whalen was abused by a priest within the Buffalo diocese years ago.
Even if it's early retirement, as long as he goes and someone can step in and hopefully build his diocese back up, it's well worth it. Hopefully we can go forward now and clean house, clean the diocese up, and get the church back to where it's supposed to be.
Malone is expected to be replaced by Albany Bishop Edward Scharfenberger until Pope Francis finds a permanent replacement. Richard Malone faced a mandatory retirement in 2 years when he'd be 75. Now it appears that retirement will start tomorrow. All fraternities and sororities at Bloomsburg University in Pennsylvania now on an 18-month probation period while school officials reform Greek life there. Officials blame hazing, excessive drinking, and sexual assault for that move. The university made the announcement yesterday, and the overhaul will start right away. The holiday season, prime time for those porch pirates. Now, new legislation in New York would stiffen penalties for folks who steal packages from someone else's porch.
They're treated just like any other theft, you know, whether it be from a store or another business.
That's Sergeant James Coughlin with the Gates, New York Police Department. He says stealing, usually a misdemeanor under New York state law, depending on the value of the item. But Republican State Senator Daphne Jordan wants to upgrade porch piracy to a felony. Again, Sergeant Coughlin.
Somebody facing a misdemeanor charge can be sentenced up to a year in jail versus a felony where they can get much more time in actual state prison.
Police say you should never have anything valuable delivered to your home if you are not there. Officials say last year alone, 26 million Americans fell victim to porch piracy. A local farmer from Chemung County, New York, has been charged in a $750,000 national cattle selling scheme Prosecutors say Michael Rogers with Rogers Farms defrauded victims all across the country. He's currently in the Chemung County lockup pending his court appearance. Trained USDA sharpshooters in Syracuse all this week. They're going to try and reduce the deer population in the Salt City. Family Life's Jeremy Miller.
Yeah, the city adopted a new deer management program back in October, which includes the use of sharpshooters to kill deer in more rural parts of Syracuse. The sharpshooters will call the deer at night between dusk and dawn, but the city has not said exactly where they will be concentrated. Officials hope that by reducing the deer population, there will also be a drop in deer vehicle accidents, Lyme disease, and harm to parks, gardens, and ecosystems. Jeremy Miller, Family Life News.
Thank you, Jeremy. For the first time in more than 50 years, Pennsylvania's first day of shotgun season took place last Saturday instead of yesterday. Travis Lau is with the Pennsylvania Game Commission.
The whole idea behind changing the opening day to a Saturday start rather than a Monday start is it would seem to give more hunters the chance to participate on opening day.
A reaction from hunters in the Keystone State has been mixed.
I get off work at 5 o'clock and I can't go hunting. So that gives you another day during the weekend.
It's been that Monday after Thanksgiving for decades. It's tradition.
The change comes as hunting license sales have dwindled in the Commonwealth. Officials also looking at allowing Sunday hunts in order to keep the deer population in check in Pennsylvania. Governor Tom Wolf wants Major League Baseball to rethink a restructuring plan that would impact three minor league teams in Pennsylvania. Here's Family Life's Terry Diener.
Wolf has written to Baseball Commissioner Rob Manfred to express concern about the impact on the Erie Seawolves, the Williamsport Crosscutters, and the State College Spikes. The professional baseball agreement between Major League Baseball and the National Association of Professional Baseball Leagues expires after the 2020 season. The restructuring proposal would lead to 42 teams being dropped from their circuits. Terry Diener, Family Life News.
Thank you, Terry. Governor Wolf signing legislation that improves the financial footing of Pennsylvania's rural hospitals. The measure sponsored by Republican State Senator Lisa Baker, who says 30 out of the state's 42 rural health care facilities are operating in the red.
We serve 1.8 million Pennsylvanians. Equally consequential, they are significant employers and economic generators, with these hospitals being among the top five employers in their respective communities.
Governor Wolf says the measure will help rural hospitals stay afloat financially, even with fewer patients. Today is Giving Tuesday. Have you given? Well, you should. Family Life's Bob Price.
Yeah, first there was Black Friday, then Small Business Saturday, followed by Cyber Monday, and today, Giving Tuesday. The philanthropic movement started in 2012 as a way to create an international day of charitable giving at the beginning of the Christmas season, seen as a way to counter the commercialization and consumerism that seems to define the holiday. Over the past 7 years, Giving Tuesday has grown into a global movement that inspires hundreds of millions to give, collaborate, and celebrate generosity. You can find out ways to get involved in your own community at givingtuesday.org. Bob Price, Family Life News.
Thank you, Bobby. The Seahawks giving themselves another win last night. It is sunny time. 2 minute drill.
Yeah, it's a good Monday night affair between the Seahawks and the Vikings. Seahawks down at halftime, come back to beat the Vikings 37-30 to move to 10-2. Russell Wilson.
Top of the NFC West, and we're in control, and that's a great thing. You know, we like having that control and just being on try to continue to win football games.
The Vikings with the loss, now a game behind Green Bay in the NFC North, but head coach Mike Zimmer said, so?
I mean, everybody acts like this is the end of the world. It's not the end of the world. We lost one game tonight. We're 8-4. We've got 4 games left, 3 division games. So, you know, this isn't the end of the world. We still got a lot of good football left to play.
Playing good hockey, the Buffalo Sabres scoring 5 goals in the first, crushing New Jersey 7-1. Head coach Ralph Kruger.
We had a deserved first period. Kind of like just the fruit of the labor over the week before almost seemed to pay off.
Buffalo's 2-0-2 in their last 4 games. New Jersey's lost 5 of their last 7. At Madison Square Garden, Golden Knights beat the Rangers 4-1. Islanders send Detroit to their 10th straight loss with a 4-1 win. Head coach Barry Trotz.
They're playing desperate.
effort. They threw a lot of pucks. They had 56 attempts, I think, and I thought we did a pretty good job. I mean, they had six power plays, and we'll take the win and move on.
To the NBA, the Bucks beat the Knicks 132-88. New York's lost seven in a row to fall to 4-17. Head coach David Fizdale says no fight.
Lack of tenacity, intensity, focus, competitiveness. Like I said, I don't feel like we came into this game believing that we can win this game, and that's what was the most disappointing.
A lot of fight in Philadelphia. The Sixers beat the Jazz 103-94 to improve to 10-0 at home. Trailblazer forward Carmelo Anthony, the Western Conference Player of the Week. Melo averaged 22.3 points, 7.7 rebounds for Portland, which went 3-0 last week. His first Player of the Week honor since March of 2014 with the Knicks. Basketball, Canisius falls to Hofstra. Dominic Welch leads St. Bonaventure over Florida Atlantic. For Family Life, I'm Sonny Dolphier.
Thank you, Sonny. Still to come on this Tuesday edition of the Noon Report, President Trump on the world stage, U.S. students falling behind their world peers, and life after suicide. Meet today's hometown hero.
It's unethical, it hasn't yielded results, and it's wasting money. It's time to stop all federal funding of embryonic stem cell research. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street. This is Breakpoint. I certainly don't recommend the cartoon Family Guy, but in a 2012 episode, the main character, Peter Griffin, has a stroke, paralyzes half his body. He stumbles into a stem cell research lab and is cured in 5 minutes. Why aren't we funding this? He asked. Well, the show not only got it exactly wrong, it cheated. Let me explain. The cartoon never delineates whether the research center uses adult stem cells or embryonic stem cells. The difference is everything. Embryonic stem cells are only acquired by destroying human embryos. Acquiring adult stem cells does not require the death of a human embryo. Now, you might remember this was a central issue of the 2004 presidential election. Democratic nominee John Kerry led the chorus of outlandish promises for embryonic stem cells, shaming George W. Bush's decision to ban federal funding of embryo destructive research while, for the first time, directing funding for adult stem cell research. For this decision to fund research that did not require destroying an embryo, George W. was accused of banning stem cell research, which of course just wasn't true. I'm guessing the Family Guy episode was perpetuating that myth that Bush did not fund stem cell research. The truth is, Bush didn't fund embryo-destructive stem cell research, and the Obama administration lifted the Bush-era ban on embryo-destructive research in 2009, forking over between $100 and $200 million a year in federal funding. In 2012, when that Family Guy episode aired, $150 million in federal grants were going to embryo-destructive research. But here's the thing. Despite all that funding dedicated to embryo-destructive research, embryonic stem cells had not yielded a single viable treatment by 2012. Adult stem cells had. In fact, 7 years and hundreds of billions of dollars later, there are still zero treatments from embryonic stem cells. But, according to the pro-life think tank Lozier Institute, adult stem cell research has made significantly more progress, shown far more real promise in treating diseases and conditions than embryonic stem cell research has. In fact, scores of disease and conditions are now treated using adult stem cells, including brain cancer, diabetes, Crohn's disease, Parkinson's, and multiple sclerosis. Now, this raises two questions. First, are we still funding embryo-destructive research? The answer is yes. The question is, why are we still funding embryo-destructive research? Over $200 million of federal funding still goes to embryo-destructive stem cell research, and it has every year since President Trump has taken office. In January, Indiana Representative Jim Banks introduced the Patients First Act of 2019, which would have effectively rerouted all National Institutes of Health funding to adult stem cell research. But in a Democrat-controlled House, that hasn't gone anywhere. What this means is, executive action is necessary. President Trump already restricted NIH experiments using fetal tissue, so it's likely he'd be willing to end this long national experiment in embryo-destructive research as well. But he needs to hear from us loud and clear. Ending this deadly and unethical research, which has brought no miracle cures, should be a cause to unite not just pro-life voters, but all who think taxpayers deserve something for our money. And before I leave you today, most of you know that today is Giving Tuesday. If these Breakpoint commentaries help you understand the culture and help you address the issues of the day from a Christian worldview, we need your support. Just come to breakpoint.org/radio to donate. That's breakpoint.org/radio to donate. And thank you for Breakpoint. I'm John Stone Street.
20 minutes past the hour. Let's head outside. Kevin Williams.
Well, very good afternoon to all. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. In the wake of our recent snowstorm, we've got some quiet weather in play now. But as we go on in time, we've got a couple of fronts and a little Canadian clipper that will return some wind and snow to parts of the area over time. For this afternoon, though, sunshine and some mixed clouds. Temperatures peaking in the low to mid-30s for most. Tonight and tomorrow, a fair amount of cloudiness. There'll be a little lake snow kicking in off Lake Erie that will produce some small accumulations south and southeast of Buffalo. Temperatures overnight, 20s and low 30s, 30s tomorrow. On Thursday, watch for some local lake snow southeast of Lakes Erie and Ontario. Otherwise, intervals of sunshine and flurries and high temperatures in the mid-20s to the middle 30s.
Thank you, Kevin Williams. If you're just joining us, here are some of the stories we're following for you today. Tuesday, December 3rd, speaking at the NATO summit in London today, President Trump suggested that a trade deal with China may not happen until after the election. That sparked a massive sell-off on Wall Street today. The president has also been sparring with his French counterpart.
I heard that President Macron said NATO is brain dead. I think that's very insulting to a lot of different forces, including a man that does a very good job in running NATO.
Emmanuel Macron saying today that he stands by his controversial comments, and despite their differences, President Trump described his relationship with Macron as a rosy one.
That's usually the case with the two of us. We get it worked out.
The president also meeting with Canada's Justin Trudeau today, where they hailed the new trade agreement between the U.S., Canada, and Mexico. The House Intelligence Committee set to vote later today on a report of its findings following 2 weeks of public hearings. Correspondent Bill Rakoff.
If it's approved, the report would then go to the Judiciary Committee, which is expected to use it as the foundation of the case against the president. The investigation has been examining claims that Mr. Trump tried to extract political favors from Ukraine in exchange for foreign aid. The Judiciary Committee holds a hearing Wednesday as it considers whether to recommend articles of impeachment to the full House.
That's Bill Rakoff reporting from Washington. In just a couple of hours from now, California Republican Congressman Duncan Hunter will go before a judge. He's accused of misusing campaign dollars. The congressman says he's entering a guilty plea to protect his kids, and he says he's ready to go to prison. Buffalo Bishop Richard Malone is expected to step down tomorrow as leader of the Catholic Diocese of Western New York. The embattled bishop reportedly will take an early retirement. Malone has faced growing pressure to resign for his handling of the priest sex abuse crisis in Western New York. Some international results show more needs to be done in the U.S. classroom. Correspondent Vicky Barker.
The annual global snapshot of student performance shows American 15-year-olds moving up the rankings, but that's only because many of their peers in other countries are performing worse. American kids turned in above-average performances in reading and science, below average in math. In all, the U.S. is 13th in the world, behind Poland, Sweden, and Estonia, among others. Four of the top five nations are in Asia.
That's Vicky Barker reporting. Dictionary.com picking existential as its word of the year for 2019. It's all thanks to Forky, the beloved character in Toy Story 4.
Everyone, I want you to meet Forky.
Look how long his arms are.
The website says the word is used in phrases like existential crisis, in which a person, or a toy in this case, questions the meaning of life.
Woody?
Why am I alive?
Existential was used in online searches following wildfires in California, Hurricane Dorian, and the recent mass shootings. Frankenmuth, Michigan has been named the top U.S. city to get folks in the Christmas spirit. Correspondent Elisa Z.
VacationRenter.com named the city's Little Bavaria as the best place in the nation to, quote, find those sought-after holiday vibes. Highlights of a holiday visit to Frankenmuth include a trip down Christmas Lane, which is lit up with over 100,000 lights. The Silent Night Memorial Chapel and Bronner's, the world's largest Christmas store, are also big draws. According to Vacation Renter, other top holiday cities are Asheville, North Carolina, St. Augustine, Florida, Leavenworth, Washington, and North Pole, Alaska.
That's Elisa Z reporting. 25 minutes past the hour. You're plugged into the Noon Report on Family Life. Welcome to another edition of Hometown Heroes on Family Life. I'm your host, Bill Price. Our guest this week, Carrie Rayner from Bemis Point, New York. She's with the Community Alliance for Suicide Prevention.
I lost my husband to suicide in 2012, and I had an 18-month-old child when he passed. I looked for local resources locally, and they were not available. And I spent every night when I would put my daughter to bed, I would research suicide for about 8 hours a day. The tragedy made me look for answers and why this happens.
Tell us about your husband, Carrie. What was he like?
Dan was a fun guy. Life of the party, wanted to make everyone smile. He was always happy. At that time, I didn't know what the warning signs were because I wasn't educated on them. Now that I know what the signs are and I look back, all the signs were there. His friends talk about they saw the signs too.
You mentioned, Carrie, that suicide is the second leading cause of death for young kids today. And that just breaks my heart that so many young kids are choosing suicide. Why?
In my opinion, social media. You know, anytime we post something on social media, it's something fun that we're doing or who we're hanging out with. So it always looks like everyone else's lives are really super exciting as we're sitting in our rooms and we're scrolling.
So is suicide a bigger problem around the holidays, Carrie?
It's actually a myth. The CDC reports that the suicide rate is actually lowest in December and the rates peak in the spring and the fall. I think depression is a problem all the time. Maybe around the holidays, we see it a little bit more because maybe, you know, they don't have a loved one to be with or they lost someone, they're grieving, and they see other folks, you know, having fun with family and friends, and they just can't get into it.
You're listening to Hometown Heroes on Family Life. Our guest this week, Carrie Rayner from Bemis Point, New York, with the Community Alliance for Suicide Prevention. And Carrie, what are the warning signs to look for when it comes to suicide?
If they're talking about killing or harming themselves, expressing strong feelings of hopelessness or being trapped, an unusual preoccupation with death or dying, calling or visiting people to say goodbye, saying things like, you know, everyone would be better off without me, or I want out, or a sudden switch from being depressed to acting really calm and happy.
And so you mentioned that more men than women are committing suicide, and any other things to look out for as far as who's most at risk?
Folks that have prior suicide attempts, misuse and abuse of alcohol and drugs, mental disorders, particularly depression, access to lethal means, knowing someone that died by suicide, or lack of access to behavioral health care.
Everyone's depression, obviously, is different, and we're all wired different. We grieve differently, and we all face circumstances in life that bring us down. When does grieving become unhealthy?
Feeling down from time to time is a normal part of life, but when emotions such as hopelessness and despair just won't go away. More than just sadness in response to life setbacks. Depression changes how you think, feel, and function. It can interfere with your ability to work, study, eat, sleep, and enjoy life. And just trying to get through the day can be overwhelming. We have to reach out for help if we're grieving. We have to reach out for help if we're depressed, mm-hmm. just so we can understand it ourselves.
Yeah.
Especially around suicide, we ask questions of why. Will we ever have the answer? Who are we going to ask?
So you mentioned a statistic I found fascinating. For every death from suicide, 100 other lives are impacted. Can you talk to us about that a little bit?
You know, everyone thinks, well, the family was just affected. But what about the folks that knew, like, let's, for example, we'll say my husband, people that knew my husband, whether they worked with him or he just had a great impression on them and maybe they looked up to him for some things, right? Mm-hmm. Maybe someone that we didn't even know.
Well, Carrie, I can't imagine the grief you've gone through and losing a spouse to suicide. What has this whole tragedy taught you about yourself?
Being mindful of other people is really important to me. And when you're asking someone a question, truly want to know the answer to the question or don't ask it. Like if you say, how are you? Do you really mean how are you? for you? Or do you, like, be mindful? Like, are you really, ask the question that you really want to hear the answer to. And just take a step back and be mindful of other people, because we don't know what issues they're dealing with.
That's Carrie Rayner from Bemis Point, New York, this week's Hometown Hero. Join us next week as we search for your home, your town, your hero. It's Hometown Heroes on Family Life. The Big Show comes your way every Tuesday during the Noon Report. You can also find it online anytime, fln.org/podcast.
Well, very good afternoon to all. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. In the wake of our recent snowstorm, we've got some quiet weather in play now. But as we go on in time, we've got a couple of fronts and a little Canadian clipper that will return some wind and snow to parts of the area over time. For this afternoon, though, sunshine and some mixed clouds. Temperatures peaking in the low to mid-30s for most. Tonight and tomorrow, a fair amount of cloudiness. There'll be a little lake snow kicking in off Lake Erie that will produce some small accumulations south and southeast of Buffalo. Temperatures overnight, 20s and low 30s, 30s tomorrow. On Thursday, watch for some local lake snow southeast of Lakes Erie and Ontario. Otherwise, intervals of sunshine and flurries and high temperatures in the mid-20s to the middle 30s.
Thank Kevin Williams. Finally at noon, Auburn University students keep on winning following the school's huge football victory over Alabama in the Iron Bowl. The dean of the College of Liberal Arts wrote in a tweet this week that he's giving students one extra second for next week's final exams. Auburn was given an extra second at the end of the first half of Saturday's game, one they used to kick a field goal. The Tigers beat the Tide by 3 points. Use that extra second wisely. That is the world we live in this Tuesday. As always, thanks for coming along. I'm Bill Price, Family Life News.
You've been listening to the Noon Report, heard weekdays on Family Life. Thank you for listening.